Welcome to the Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, West County Board of Zoning Adjustments hearing. If you wish to speak on a matter, please fill out a speaker slip, submit it to the admin as soon as possible, and before speaking, please state your name. Roll call, please.
Mayor Robes.
Oh, no.
Robes?
Chair Bovis, perhaps.
Chair Bovis.
I didn't say that.
Lewis.
No.
Okay, here.
Vice Chair Siebert.
Here.
Member Lewis.
Present.
Member Santos.
Present.
Member Spalding. Not present.
Tardy.
On her way.
On her way. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Announcements by the chair. I do not have any. Have anything on consent calendar. We don't have anything for tobacco retailer regulations, and we do not have neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance abatement. We also do not have any alcohol beverage sale regulations. Open forum. Any open forum? No field trip report? Okay. Our regular calendar. Staff, you can present item one.
Okay. The first item on the regular calendar is PLN 2025 number 8, conditional use permit to allow operation of an alcohol outlet in conjunction with a convenience store located at 16900 East 14th Street. And we have staff planner Michael Fleming here to present. So just be a moment.
Okay, this is item number one, PLN 2025-00008. Conditional use permit to allow the operation of alcohol outlet in conjunction with a convenience store. The owners are Kevin Kim and Timothy Kim, and the applicant is F. Michael Ayaz. It's at 16900 East 14th, 080A, 0102, 033303. It's exempt from CEQA class 15301, class 1, existing facilities. The zoning on the property is it's the Ashland Trailland Business District Specific Plan CMUC, which stands for Corridor Mixed Use Commercial. It's in the Eden Area General Plan under General Commercial. Some background: on May 13th, 2025, the Eden Municipal Advisory Council voted 7-0 to deny. Reason being, there were six speakers that spoke in opposition, mostly talking about the high concentration of alcohol outlets are in Ashland area along East 14th to the north, and also citing negative impacts such as poor health outcomes, addiction, and DUI incidents. Staff recommendation today is denial, based on two things, two major things. The results of the first hearing, in which we were in support initially, but with the overwhelming support against the project, and also in checking our environmental justice element that is fairly new to the planning department, and in the environmental justice element, it suggests to limit alcohol outlets for various reasons, but mainly that the planning department should avoid approving too many alcohol outlets in a single area. There is some bright spots in this particular case. Their parking for their project is sound. They have 21 parking spaces when only two are required. And one of the reasons why we originally were in approval of the project is the location is more than 500 feet from any school, church, park, or other alcohol outlet, which is our alcohol policy, which means if you were to vote to approve today, it would not be going against the planning department's alcohol policy. It does meet the minimum requirements. It's just it doesn't follow the environmental justice element and also the results of the first hearing. Here's a map showing that 500 feet. The green blob is the proposed store, and the 500 foot radius is right here. I would say about a 900 foot from the store is another liquor store, and then about 1,000 foot from the store is a park and a mosque, and another maybe 2,000 feet from the store is another liquor store, and then the closest elementary school is probably a half mile away. This is the plan showing the store and the parking that they do have behind the store, including an ADA spot. This is the store itself, floor plan for the store. Here would be a refrigerated area, cashier area, various stands for convenience type items, and alcohol behind the counter. Here's a landscape plan for the site. There'd be landscaping along the back parking lot and in between the parking and the building. Staff recommends the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments recommend denial of this conditional use permit to allow operation of alcohol outlet type 21 license in conjunction with the convenience store, subject to drawings called Exhibit A dated 1/23/25 on file with the Albany County Planning Department. It should be noted that if the convenience store was to just be a convenience store without alcohol, it would be allowed. So any questions for staff?
Board, have any questions for staff?
Don't at this time.
Does a convenience store allow for beer and wine, or is it zero alcohol?
Be zero alcohol.
Then also, is this area considered a food desert, since there's very few? If there was some way to bring in fresh fruit, fresh produce, is that something that would be taken into consideration?
I live in the area. To my knowledge, the closest store that sells, for instance, produce would be down the street a little bit, maybe another two or three blocks. I would say this particular block and the blocks surrounding it, there is no grocery type store. There is a liquor store on the next block over, about 900 feet away, that sells, you know, convenience type items. As far as like produce and stuff, healthier options, I believe there's a grocery store about three blocks away, and then there's also one at 164th and East 14th.
The Mexican market.
Yeah. There's, I believe there's two of those type of markets down the street.
And then final question, does the county limit the hours of alcohol sales?
For example,
Oakland, I think, has a cutoff at like 1 or 1:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So
I believe that would be left to the ABC, who gives a license for the alcohol. I mean, they have to get approval from us, but then they still have to comply with ABC, which I believe probably it probably varies, maybe either city to city or county to county, depending on the local ABC ordinance.
No county ordinance that says, hey, you know, if we give you this alcohol permit, we'd like you to close the store at 1 o'clock. So, you know, we don't have the issues that come after, later than that, from folks getting all drunk up.
Correct.
We don't really know the hours of operation yet.
Oh, but I'm just asking the question because, like I said, the city of Oakland regulates hours of liquor stores. So at 1 o'clock, they come across the border to San Leandro, and there's been noise complaints because at 1:30 in the morning, somebody's, you know, outside of a store making a ruckus. So I was just, and the reason that happens is because of the limitations put on.
What's the ratio, alcohol license ratio for the area?
Explain that a little bit.
You generally can issue a license based off the quantity of residents in the concentrated area. So let's say it would be one license per 2,500 population. So if Ashland is 25 or 24,000 people, how many liquor licenses have been issued to that area?
Well, the planning department doesn't do it that way for alcohol at this current time. We do study that for tobacco licenses. So there's a certain amount of tobacco licenses that are allowed. In fact, Alameda County Unincorporated is already over that amount, so we're not issuing any more tobacco licenses. It's different for alcohol. The county doesn't have like a set number. We have an alcohol policy that just basically lists the distances it has to be from other like churches and schools and parks and other alcohol outlets. But yeah.
You know the crime rate in that area? The current crime rate?
No.
Okay, so this is an existing selling everything but alcohol, right?
It actually hasn't been a store for a certain several years. You could ask the applicant exactly when it closed down, but I know for at least 3, 4, 5 years it hasn't been any store or anything, and they're trying to get it going again.
Not an operation. It's important to note that Member Spalding walked in around 1:40 today.
Thank you. My apologies for my tardiness with the combination of every single light and school getting out. I was doomed. Maybe staff can tell us a little bit about the environmental justice piece. I'm interested in hearing about.
So that's a new element to the general plan that California is requiring now. It went into place, I believe we finished our EJ element August 8th, 2024. And so it has various sections in it, all around environmental justice, to try to especially help the communities that are suffering the most. In this particular case, It does state that the planning department should limit places like alcohol outlets. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually asked to limit some other type of locations or types of stores as well. For instance, I don't know if it says like gentlemen clubs or something like that, but I would imagine certain elements of the community that are not seen as good or that have problems with them. And EJ elements, just the whole goal is to fight that and also to bring in justice for maybe people who are getting gouged with rent or other environment injustices in the community.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's also kind of hard to ignore the public outcry that they've had on this. I saw we got comments from Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And how many people did you say spoke at?
There was six. There were six people. Yes, there were six people.
I think the staff report says seven.
I thought it was six. There may be a typo. There may be a typo. Okay. Yeah.
And none were in favor of the project.
No, that's correct.
Okay.
I will say the applicant was in favor. I mean, he spoke. So.
Just to clarify, this is a convenience store that's presenting 20% alcohol sales. So it's not a liquor store. It's a convenience store. So 80% is still going to be other
convenience items. That's correct.
They're non-alcohol related.
That's correct. It's okay. Not strictly just a store for liquor. It would, you know, you'd be able to, I mean, I would say the good thing about this project is that that particular stretch for people who, especially people who are walking or pedestrians, don't have a very easy access place just to get a snack, you know. So you'd have to walk a couple blocks down. So especially people maybe just with disabilities or whatnot that aren't as mobile as other people, this would provide a place for them to get lunch or something, you know. But as part of the project, they want to sell alcohol also. So
if they could conform more to what the EJ is asking from the convenience side, you wouldn't really be opposed to that, because then it would fit more into what I understand the EJ is asking the community to do.
Well, as it says in the report, it just says to limit alcohol outlets. So I think they would prefer this particular place to not sell any alcohol and to be maybe like a sandwich store or a restaurant or something else that could bring food to that area, but not bring alcohol.
And as far as the 20% goes, where is the 20%
in the counter?
I would say you could double check this with the applicant. It would make the most sense that some of the refrigerated section would be for beer and wine, and there would be, you know, other kinds of distilled spirits behind the counter.
How's that policed or enforced is my question. I mean, because if you, once you give them a conditional use permit to allow the alcohol sales, arguably that in itself, and maybe county council can correct me if I'm wrong, would allow them just to next year say, I'll do 80% alcohol. There's nothing inherently limiting anything we can put in there that would be inherently limiting, but I don't think so based on prior.
Are you asking if you could place that as a condition of approval?
That be right. Is that the no more than 20%? And then the question next would be, is how do you police that? Would it even be policed? Is it even enforceable?
So the enforceability, practical enforceability, is a staff question. Imagine that staff monitors all manner of conditions of approval. And so you'd have to ask staff that. Whether it's legally enforceable, I see no reason why it wouldn't be legally enforceable.
You're saying that arguably you could say you could limit the conditional use permit for an alcohol outlet, that it be limited to a certain percentage.
There was a basis for that in the materials. If you were saying, for example, that that it's a material basis for your finding of the use meeting the conditional use requirements, either that it's meeting a need of the community at that level, but not higher. These are examples. I'm not saying one way or another.
Well, arguably right now, the public testimony is there's zero need.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is that the condition can't be arbitrary. You need to impose it within the structure of a conditional use authorization.
It's the consent of the applicant.
No, the applicant does not have to consent.
But what if the applicant voluntarily consented?
The question went to enforceability. A voluntary consent from the applicant is not enforceable unless it's made a condition of approval that is expressly enforceable.
You could add a condition that says no more than 20% of the store shelf space should be used for alcohol.
The question would be,
and then when it goes to mandatory review, we could set a mandatory review for any amount, number of years, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever you choose. And when it goes to mandatory review, staff would go by the store and they could check to see if it was in compliance.
And the other question would be is, what percentage would it be, the percentage of sales, or would it be the percentage? I mean, that's kind of the hard question of how do you measure it?
I think it would be shelf space. That's how we've done it in other stores.
Okay.
At the Walgreens in Castro Valley, it was shelf space, you know, a certain amount of feet by a certain amount of feet.
Just how ABC calculates by linear footage on shelving.
Other two stores in the diagram, those are liquor stores, correct? Those are not convenience stores. Those are actual liquor stores.
Is that a yes or no? Right.
The radius. Those stores are liquor/convenience stores. I've been in both those stores. They sell a whole lot of different things. I'd suggest that maybe at most 30% of their store is for liquor, because they do have a lot of shelf space for candies and chips. And I mean, just imagine almost any liquor store you go into. There are other states in the country that have just liquor stores that just serve liquor, and that's all they sell. Almost all the liquor stores in the Bay Area that I've ever even been into have most of the shelf spaces for chips and sodas and stuff like that. And liquor, I don't know how much percent sales it is. I mean, I wouldn't have numbers on that, but just in mapping the shelf space of the store, they sell a lot of different things there, you know, not just alcohol.
Questions and all of.
Well, it states that there are four such stores within a mile of this applicant's address. Is that's correct?
Yes.
All right. That's it.
I will open the public hearing. Card?
Sign a card.
Okay. You can state your name for us.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Mike Leaz. I'm the attorney on behalf of the applicant. And before I start, I wanted to answer some of the really great questions that were asked. Staff could have easily figured out the concentration numbers and crime statistics from ABC. It's a pretty standard process. I'm an ABC expert. I've testified before several courts at ABC. I process ABC applications. Super easy to find out. That's kind of been the problem with this staff report and this process, is that there is no analysis done here that you would normally see that would talk about over-concentration, that would talk about crime stats. What you do have is that we meet all of the statutory requirements except for this new Justice League provision that is being referred to, which says limit, not eliminate. But one of the important factors that wasn't disclosed to you is that this area is not overconcentrated by the ABC standards. Overconcentration is defined by the Business and Profession Code, nowhere in the Municipal Code, and that's the definition that actually applies. The other thing that wasn't, you guys weren't told, was that this location is actually licensed already. It has an active ABC license. So the addition, and I use that term loosely, or really the reactivation of the use, would not result in an increase in the census tract of the license. We have provided you the license history directly from ABC. There's four licenses within the census tract, which is the applicable and legal requirement for determining over concentration. And there will be four licenses when this is approved. There's not an increase in the license census tract. The statutory scheme of the county is to determine distance requirements, and somehow we've gotten to a mile away, which isn't within the code and which is not an appropriate analysis for the findings. None of the findings have any support in here other than the ones that are in favor, because obviously we meet all the distance requirements. We're not next to another outlet. We're not next to a school within the prescribed area. And six people came to protest. They're all from the same group. They trampled their children to make statements, to tug at the heartstrings. But what happened to the principles of land use and zoning and actual analysis of factual information? The police department and the sheriff's department is not protesting this application. You would think if these problems existed that they would be here, or they would certainly have lodged a protest to this application. Again, if you look at the timing of this, my client's business shut down because of COVID. He's just trying to get the business back open again. And he is willing, and the hours of operation actually are in our application. Again, mysteriously not put into your staff report. We're not open till 2 o'clock in the morning. We're open till midnight. That's what we requested. We also, my client is more than willing to consent or volunteer a condition with regard to the hours of operation, with regards to the 20%, because that's what we offer. We offer that when we file this application, because our intent is not to be a full-on liquor store, but truly a neighborhood market where people could come and buy a variety of items. But in today's economic world, you need to provide the available products that people need or are asking for. Look at the findings, folks. I mean, if you look at the findings, all the findings are made in the positive, except for one, because of this element. But there's no factual analysis that leads to the finding in opposition. They're giving you a statistic from MAD for the national averages, throwing in state, like every 85 seconds someone dies from a car accident resulting from a DUI. Well, where is the data about this area? Is that this is not the national average? I have been before this board before many years ago, and I will be here. This group comes all the time and does the same dog and pony show. And while we respect their position, we feel that the applicant, who again is not only investing by submission to the building department plans to revitalize that area, which is currently vacant and home to vagrants and drug users and homeless people, that's what you want in that spot. If you can't get a vegan bakery to go into a place, would you rather have it empty, or would you rather have a live and active business from an operator that's experienced, that has had no violations on his ABC license? This location has been licensed since 1990, active 1990 through the, never had an ABC problem. Otherwise you would have heard about it. In the report, there's stuff about building code sections. Well, the building is vacant, and there's current plans at the city to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this location to revitalize it and bring it back to life. The idea that alcohol is the beginning and end of all sin that happens in this area is a concept that needs to stop, to be regulated. We're in agreement with section number 1, 9 to 12. Number 2, 20% of our total square footage will be dedicated to alcohol. How can that be regulated? Just like the planner said, you send in code enforcement, you send in planning, they take a tape measure, you're over it, come take it. right? We also would agree and consent or volunteer a condition that will come back in 12 months. And if we're violating any conditions and take the permit or modify the hours or modify the square footage, we're okay with that because we, my client knows how to operate this business and operate it. So that's just kind of the, in response to some of the questions. But again, ABC, from what we can tell, they only sent one letter to ABC and never followed up. But it's
A,
this, the county, within the staff report, there's one referral sent out. ABC is pretty reachable. I would bet, Ms. Hybert, if you called them today and asked them what the crime stats are and over-concentration is, they'll provide it to you because that's their function. Their function is to do that. But again, if you look at it, there's four licenses in the census tract, including my active right now, today. The only reason it went inactive is, like many other businesses, suffered from COVID. And it's taken him 3 years to rebound, willing to come back, and he's still willing to put the investment into the building and into the... report, you know, you received the staff report just today of the previous hearing, of itself is problematic for us, right? It's prejudicial. And the planning staff recommended approval overwhelmingly during our telephone calls, during our processing, even prior to the hearing, the planner said, don't worry about this because ultimately it's you folks that make the decision. Doesn't matter what they do. Surprising to us, you have a group that comes and brings six people. They weren't their neighbors. There was not one neighbor there that could attest that they lived 100 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet. We're from miles away from this organization that has a problem with alcohol, right? Alcohol is still a legal product in the state, in the United States of United States. It's highly regulated. So the other thing is not only are we going to meet the standardized conditions, and we agree to all of them that are within your own alcohol policy, but ABC has conditions on the license, right? And the Business and Profession Code highly regulates the sale of alcoholic beverages, and three strikes, you're out, right? And the city and the code enforcement has all the authority under the conditions of approval and the zoning code to revoke the permit, to amend a permit if there's any issues. But we're being condemned before we even have an opportunity. Right? Because you have a Mothers Against Drunk Driving that go around and protest every one of these licenses, unless it's a Ralph's or some fancy store that they like. Are you okay? I just wanted to, you were just looking off that way. I'm sorry. Staff overwhelmingly supported the request and correctly determined that we met all of the code requirements. If you just read the staff report, you'll see that we meet the zoning code, the alcohol policy, everything. And the only thing that they're saying that we don't meet is this policy, and it's based on MAD statistics. When you look at the findings are not based on anything that has to do with this property, that has to do with this area. It has to do with broad strokes of things that are happening across the country. And it's only relying on an organization that is designed to prohibit alcohol consumption, right? There's other reports out there that will tell you that proper alcohol sales and service is not as detrimental. And there's something called personal responsibility, right? People need to understand that these people that are in this business are already suffering from overregulation. And they will not make it without the help of boards like yourself to give them the chance to operate the business under the
Why is there a public? Why is there a public alcohol?
I mean, that's a question that get asked.
That has to be. That's what we have to determine, though.
I mean, if you read the staff report, the public need is there, man. That the determination that a public need is met is with the staff report, as public need is, that finding has been made. That's not at issue here.
That's staff's recommendation.
It is staff's recommendation.
But at the same time, they're also recommending that it be denied.
They're recommending that it be denied on a false or improper premise, right? The fact that perhaps you don't think that there's a public need there. You don't represent the entirety of the public, but there is a public need for the convenience store. There is
But there's a difference between a public need for a convenience store and the public need for alcohol. There's no issue that if your client wants to start up his store and open it
because,
up.
Right. I mean, you recognize that that's like asking a Buffalo Wild Wings to open without beer, right? I mean, you can't take away parts of a business simply because some people disagree with the consumption of alcohol. Alcohol is a product that is needed. Otherwise, there wouldn't be stores, there wouldn't be manufacturers, there wouldn't be wineries, there wouldn't be distilleries, there wouldn't be billions of dollars in the industry if there was no public need. The public need is there. And I think under the law, there's a difference. And, you know, personal beliefs should not be, have any place in public. Where's the public today?
I don't know. We haven't finished our public hearing. There may be other speakers.
Again, whoever's here is going to be from the same organization. That never walks by the store. Some of them walk by the store with a guy shooting a syringe because the business is shut down. Or allow my client the very limited ancillary beverages. Else, would you be making these arguments if my client was Ralph's?
No one's making any arguments. We're just posing the questions.
The public need is never questioned when it's Ralph's, when it's a Buffalo Wild Wings. I was here representing. When you're talking about a small small store, and Board Member Santos, my client would also agree to provide fresh produce at us. Our goal is not part of our business.
Sorry. Can you tell me what is going to be the primary focus of sales? What will the store have, basically? The
store will have sundry goods, some cleaning materials, some fresh produce, some food items, snacks, milk, juice, your daily necessity type items, hot coffee in the mornings. Alcohol, obviously, and whatever is kind of customary and whatever the community says they need in that area, whether it be hygiene products or it be cleaning supplies or water oil, it really is what the customers are seeking, right? And I generally do not like to volunteer conditions limiting alcohol. But in this circumstance, based on what we heard, my client's willingness, he's fine with that to limit the space. But it would be customary items and well, section of and which is again, it's I don't know if you've seen the picture. Their liquor store talking about, but I would encourage down their client because there's plans at the city waiting, to redevelop the property, to add landscaping, to add lighting, to add all the things that are missing already. And to take that away with hope that someone is going to open. It's not a business operator that has been licensed decades at the same location. That's equivocal and factual. Licensed that only closed down and lost its entitlement because of COVID, that is now just trying to improve the building and bring the building back. Not only bring the building back, but bring the building and operation back with way more conditions than that was provided before.
Can you tell us about the improvements addressing the building code violations? And are they specific to your tenant space or the entire building?
I have no idea what the building, I don't represent the building. But
you're describing the plans that have been submitted
to our
suite, and that they cost, that include, the improvements are hundreds of thousands of dollars. I doubt that you've bid the project by now, or you have. And are the improvements strictly just for the tenant space and not the rest of the building?
My client has already spent.
I'm just interested in the scope of your improvements.
Sweet. The landscaping that. To do it. Our space.
I just want to clarify, because when you say the building, it sounds to me like it's the entire building when this is a tenant improvement space. Correct. Right. So there are no other improvements to the building other than the facade and the exterior of the parking lot.
Those are improvements to the.
But there's
that
building violations
inside the suite, and the landscaping covers the entirety of the suite, as was shown on the plans that were provided. Like your brain's moved up, but it's not necessary that my clients spend $5 million improving the neighborhood.
Nobody said that. I just asked if you could just describe what the improvements were to the building.
That's what I'm trying to understand. $200,000 on what, though?
Step up to the microphone.
Have to, yeah. Come to the podium.
Right.
And state your name, please.
Please, yeah. Please.
Zadin Ali. So we spent it on shelving, flooring. The whole store needed gutted out, and we redid everything, including the concrete, the tile, plumbing, the bathroom, the fridges, literally everything electrical, and a bit more of the back rooms. So it's a full remodel.
I just wanted
to
clarify, because when you make reference to a building, I think it's the building entirety versus just the space. Okay, thank you.
Since you're educating me here on ABC rules, so the owner here operated the store prior to COVID. He had a liquor license. Store closed due to economic conditions. What happens to that liquor license? I mean, is that
license? Active at that.
Does that license remain with that building? So
it's transferred.
Until
it's.
If I open up a liquor store far enough away from the mad folks that they have no problem with me, I could make your client an offer and say, hey, I'll take your liquor license and move it over to my store. It's not attached to that store in perpetuity.
Well, it's not attached to the store in perpetuity. It just has obviously less value, right? Because the liquor license by itself being transferred.
How long was the store operating under your client's ownership prior to COVID? 5 years. And there was no violations in 5 years.
The proof is in the pudding and the documents that are directly from ABC.
The other liquor stores in the area, do you know offhand, had violations?
Look. Other stores.
Being back or adding, so to speak, after 5 years back.
It hasn't been
alcohol.
5 years. It's been 3 years.
Okay.
It waited 5 years before. And the store was never a problem. So to condemn him because some other store.
No one's doing that. It's trying to understand the neighborhood and the condition operating.
So the store will operate under the conditions of approval, right? We volunteered some significant conditions of approval. Board will retain jurisdiction, as will the county. Should anything happen, you guys can take it from us. Nothing will happen, but you guys have that right. We also have volunteered so that we don't We County Council, we will volunteer these conditions about the review process, which you have the right to do anyways, but we will make it a condition. Should we have to come back? Don't worry about the county maybe forgetting. We'll come back in 12 months and we'll be back here and there'll be no violations and they'll, you know, people will still come and say what they're going to say, but the evidence and the facts.
Let me tee one up here for you. Do you have any knowledge of a convenience store operating profitably without at least beer and wine sales?
Yeah. I have been doing this 25 years and I represent major grocery chains, hotels, resorts, and a number of these type of establishments. These establishments don't make it as a market without being able to provide all the customary, like what people expect when they walk into a store, right? They're just not going to make it. So again, our goal is, again, to help with the revitalization of that area, as opposed to some theoretical policy for environmental justice. We want to bring life back to that center. We want that center not to be overrun by vagrants and homeless people. We want to light up that corner and light up that store again. And part of what we're going to be doing is selling alcoholic beverages amongst 1,000 different items. This is the only one that's, other than tobacco, right, is the only one that's as regulated in the entire state of California, maybe other than gasoline. But even gasoline is easier than this, right? from my point of view, it is. It certainly is. But again, I would let's talk about what's in the staff report.
How about talking about when, because part of staff's recommendation is based on the public testimony that there's high concentration of alcohol outlets in Ashland along East.
What is over concentrated people?
Well, no, the first question is though, is what is that? I mean, how many alcohol outlets are we talking about within what distance?
Census tract. That's the way that it's defined by the California Business and Profession Code. When it comes to over-concentration, it's determined by census tract. In this census tract, there are 4 licenses.
Okay, but the county as a local jurisdiction is entitled to also have its own definitions.
It certainly does.
Over-concentration.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. So you know, that's a county problem. But the county,
remind us all of that.
What the county does have is the regulations that say if you meet these requirements, then you're okay. If the county wanted something different, that's what they need to put. But it says you cannot be from 500 feet from another location. You cannot be 500 feet from another school. Read the staff report. The staff report says they meet all the zoning requirements, all the code zoning requirements. Right? There's not a, we haven't seen a single letter in opposition as part of the file. And if we get dropped on it today, that's prejudicial, right? We should have been receiving that. But so far, we don't have a letter of opposition. They acknowledge that the staff acknowledges that the proposal meets the county zoning code requirements, the alcohol policy, which is the policy that the county reviews and uses to determine compliance and approval. The location meets all the distance requirements.
The problem is that staff's analysis also says it's not conforming to the.
It's not conforming part, the environmental justice part of.
Still part of the general.
How does
plan.
It not comply? It does not say eliminate board member Spalding. It does not say eliminate. It says limit. It says limit. If this store that has been there for 10, 15, where, not, since 1990, if this store can't just reactivate, then you're in the business of eliminating, not limiting. It doesn't say there's an outright prohibition. You have to look at each case on a case-by-case basis, not listen to standardized boilerplate arguments from MAD that's going to coming here and say there's too much alcohol, there's too much DUIs, there's too much crime. Where's the data? Who has this data that you're going to rely on? You're going to rely on a group that's business is stopping these kind of businesses. It's like the judge and the jury and the executioner are all the same person. It makes no sense. Where's the data? Where's the sheriff department coming in saying, hey, you know what? We have 1,000 DUIs here and we have all these problems. Where is that data? You're going to rely on national statistics and an organization that's sole goal. It's not, none of those people that were there, Ms. Walding, lived in the neighborhood. They all were from other parts of Ashland. I mean, you don't even verify the address of these people, right? They could be from anywhere. They can be from 15 miles away. And they're protesting this license just because it's a liquor license, not because they have any actual dog in the fight other than they don't want alcohol, right? They don't live in the community. They don't patronize the community. One of the kids talked about walking there from school. The nearest school is 4,500 feet away. What is he doing walking 4,500 feet away across his liquor store? It just doesn't happen. They're going to youth facilities that aren't even in the area. They're talking about that. What happened to planning principles and following your own zoning code and actually making decisions or doing a staff report based on factual evidence, scintilla of data, right? You're talking about an organization whose only mission is to stop alcohol. And you're saying that those six people that were all from the same group, that were all coached by the same lady that made those statements, they represent the public as a whole? It's nonsensical. It's nonsensical. This place has been licensed for 10 years, folks. I mean, this, oh, excuse me.
35 years.
It's only went out of business because of COVID. The guy is trying, he's bringing it back with a bunch of conditions. And there's nothing in the staff report other than environmental justice, which is a new thing, which is, it can be challenged, that says we should do our best to limit these kind of things. It also says drug use and other things, right? But it doesn't say eliminate. You can't take the word of Matt as the word of the public.
Do we have any other questions?
I'm not done.
We generally do have a three-minute limit, and you're way
I mean, that again is prejudicial. You're talking about my client's livelihood. The 3 minutes applies to members of the public, not
How much time issue. Do you need, sir?
What's that?
How much more time do you need?
I don't know until I'm done.
Please provide a quantity. Acceptable to the board?
Well, you've spoken for quite a while, and one of the things that's if you're just going to say a lot of the same stuff, you've made your argument.
Right.
I understand your argument. I don't know what else you could say that's going to sway somebody's mind,
Yeah, and if we have questions or you want to reply as the applicant, we're always willing.
You will have an opportunity
to reply.
To reply to our comments later on.
Appreciate that. I think the only...
Please speak into the mic.
Please review the staff report carefully. Staff does not believe the proposed use will cause an adverse effect on the immediate area. That's in your staff report. And in the same vein, it says it will. Staff was supportive of this until they were bullied or scared by Matt. That's what really is happening here. And I would just implore you not to condemn this business owner prior to giving him a chance. He's here. He's willing to agree to conditions of approval. He will volunteer conditions. If you have suggestions, we can work those things out now as opposed to have to worry about it. But we're here to make this good, and we want to do this. And we will continue our fight to get this to get this business approved to under this permit. Thank you.
Do we have any... There, callers.
If anybody would like to speak on the first item on the regular calendar, please raise your electronic hand or hit *9. Do not have any hands raised.
Or do we have any staff?
I have a question for our esteemed legal folk here. This liquor license is in place on this property. there is a history of this being a convenience store slash liquor allowance. If the board were to just deny this, is there like a legal, does that open the county to legal hassles, or, you know, it gets denied here, they appeal to the Board of Zoning and that's it. But if I'm always curious, if something is zoned a certain way and you deny the opportunity to put that business into a property that's zoned that way, what does that mean? I'm kind of convoluted question, but, you know, I hope you understand the vein of what I'm asking.
Well, the matter before you is a request for conditional use authorization, which is discretionary. It is not a matter of right. So this property is not zoned for this use as a matter of right. It is zoned for this use with a conditional use authorization. If you find that the proposed use does not meet the standards necessary to grant a conditional use authorization, you would deny the request, and that denial could be appealed to the Board of Supervisors. And if the board determines that in fact there was a basis, they could determine to overrule this determination and grant. They could support the BZA's determination and sustain the denial, and at that point the applicant could pursue judicial remedies.
Based on had that discretion, but you abused it. Some of us who...
I'm just kind of wondering if we're in 2025 or 1920 right now.
How about 19?
It's temperance for the historical dates. Anyway.
I think the 20% limitation is...
Here, I'm just not...
Please be extra sure that we're speaking into the microphones.
I'm not sure about how the 20% would be enforced, since everything is complaint based, or that I think that's an easy one to I and I personally have do it does matter to me what Mothers Against Drunk Drivers say, and neighboring properties, and the other public speakers that came to MAC and are putting this in our hands. It just doesn't really feel appropriate. I am a resident of San Lorenzo, so that's how I feel.
If we don't look at the environmental justice part now, then when? When do we look at it? It says she'll try to limit the alcohol outlets in that area, and we all know it. There's a huge amount of them in Glen Sherry.
It's a conditional use permit. We're not allowing this in perpetuity. It's conditional use. If the finding is, like the applicant mentioned, coming back in a year, if we find in a year that there's been issues, then we can always break the conditional use permit at that point in time, or put other requirements in place. But to just say, hey, you know, let's leave this building vacant, let's leave this, you know, I just see this too often, that the what perfection is, the whatever the saying is, you want a perfect use for it, which may not happen. So in the meantime, you have squatters in there, or folks you know, shooting up drugs or whatever. You've created a worse environment than the environment you think you're curing by not allowing the applicant to go in with his store.
I think we take the integrity of the client or the applicant. He hasn't had any issues that we know. BC is highly regulated industry, and they don't mess around. This is a convenience store first, alcohol outlet second. I do think that if in a year, I'd rather see something good in the building. And I think if it conform more to their produce and food products, I think it would be a value to the area that is not looking so good right now. I think could, as far as a necessity, I don't know if you can ever say alcohol is a necessity, but if you're driving by and you want to pick up a bottle of wine, I think you, it's area to go to get it. The ABC, I believe, states that they will issue one license per 25,000 people in an area. So I don't know. I would maybe ask if that is in fact true, but they're looser on their issuance of license than I think what we're working on here.
What I haven't gotten from the staff report, or maybe I'm just missing it, is how many alcohol outlets do we have within a mile or 2 miles? Or
it states four.
There's
within a mile. Yeah,
right. But that's
beyond that. You mean?
I mean,
you don't keep track of that because the alcohol policy didn't go into effect till 1995. So a lot. Excuse me?
No, I know, but
looking at the license map and the
license map package is only showing two. It's not showing four. That's why I'm. And as staff, you're just, you know, acknowledging generally you don't keep track of that anyway.
Correct.
Right. So we don't have that, which is an issue, which I would hope, you know, by now, because this has been a long time struggle and issue, I know, for years, County, want to keep track of that, you know, and I know it can be a challenge because there's, you know, staff needs, et cetera, and interest.
Conforming. I mean, most of the time, if this client is stating that they were operating prior to COVID, even though the last alcohol inspection was in 2019, they were potentially operating, you know, as a non-conforming use. So they were operating prior to the planning department requiring a conditional use permit for alcohol sales.
Right.
But they never had any violations in that period of time, regardless.
Compliant.
Talking about alcohol, since that's the evil influence here, they were never fined by ABC. They were never busted by the sheriff's department for selling to underage folks. They operated within the letter of the law. And
it would be hard to get another license.
What's that?
Once something like that happens, it's hard to get another license.
Exactly. Yeah. But they still maintain the license. That's my point.
So my thought is. Aren't we satisfying, or are we satisfying the environmental justice element by limiting the shelf space as a condition of approval to like 20%? And also, since the applicant is acknowledging or agreeing that they would sell fresh produce or something similar, since we are, I think, pretty close to a food desert in that neighborhood. That there is that need also. So that would be my thought, is we're satisfying that EJ requirement by limiting the shelf space to 20%, which is not bad percentage of the rest of the store. So that might be one way of.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, that's I worked in the market industry for decades myself and filed for the ABC license based on shelving and floor plan and linear footage and so forth. So, and it is, it, and they do limit you to
space.
Right, in the floor area.
Right.
Of the shelving as well.
And we're doing that with Walmart. Well, why not? Others too. It's how, because how big is the entire store or square?
Correct.
Approximately.
Yes.
So we're talking like 250.
283 square feet.
Yeah, it's a small space, right?
You have to determine what that.
Yeah, well, shelf space though. It would be. Oh, everybody, you can shove shelf space.
I make a suggestion. We could the condition for the 20-foot. Or the 20% shelf space could be attached to us providing plans indicating where that 20% would be on a scaled drawing, right? So the city has documentation of where our 20% is going to be. Then when we do inspections, they can come in, they'll have a plan. It'll say, okay, shelves 1-2, doors 3-6. Those are the only places they should have alcohol. If there's an alcohol, you know, if it's an excess, it'll be real easy to see. So we, perhaps county council could chime in, but we could add that will be 20% of the total gross floor area. And the applicant shall provide plans reflecting the 20% floor area to be reviewed and approved by the building or planning.
I think there's a difference between floor area and shelf space, though.
I think the shelf space, you're going to have a harder time. I mean, I think if you just did it by gross floor area, then you measure the linear square feet, and then that gives you the square footage. That's what we're seeing more and more.
Let's find out from our staff on how we did Walmart, for instance.
Walgreens, it was like you get this 1 4x8 shelf, and that was how it was determined.
It would be a condition of approval that a professionally drawn floor plan would be provided and updated at all times.
Because the area also includes the depth of the shelf as well. I'm going to close the public hearing, to which I forgot.
And if you guys are considering creating conditions, please clarify as how and what and how often this healthy food will be maintained instead of potentially a rotting, like a section of rotting fruit.
Right. I don't know if anybody else can actually find the conditions in their package. I cannot. Find them.
No. I know.
Does anyone else have
them? No, I can't find them either.
Not in your packet because staff recommended denial, but there was a paper staff report or a printed staff report from the original recommendation that should be in front of you.
I'm reading that right now, and this is kind of interesting to me. Tentative findings. The use is required by the public need. Yes, the alcohol outlet is a public need, and there are no others within 500 feet of the subject site, thereby providing a public necessity and convenience in an area where they were lacking. Item 2, the use will be properly related to other land uses, transportation, and service facilities in the vicinity. The use will be properly related, blah, 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 blah. 3, the use, if permitted under all the circumstances and conditions of the particular case, will not materially affect adversely the health or safety of persons residing or working in the vicinity. And then we get into it won't, because it's regulated by the county alcohol outlet and the State Department of Alcohol. So, and then there's the 6th one, the use will not be contrary to the character or performance standards established for this. So we have 4 positives, yet we have, you know, this goes before the MAC, and then it comes back that regardless of what staff did, deny it. That if we're going to go by 6 folks talking at a public meeting, why do we need us? Why do we need the MAC? We could just say, hey, 6 people are against it. I don't need to be here this afternoon to have to go through this when the staff has done their work. They've provided this summary that says that this meets all the requirements. This is.
Well, it was more than six people. There were six public speakers in addition to the Eden Area Municipal Advisory Council that was in opposition of the use, and staff overlooked the EJ element on the first analysis. So it's typical for planning staff to support the local committee and their recommendation.
Which we compliment staff for and thank staff for after many years of urging the adoption of the MACs. Theoretically, a draft set of conditions of approval would be the ones attached to the staff report dated May 13, 2020. What you're
right. Yes.
Okay. All right. And one thing jumping out at me is I think the mandatory review should be 1 year from approval, not three. And then the other place would be authorizes the operation of an alcohol outlet at the existing location, conditioned. On, and the question would be is what's our appropriate language we use? That would equal shell space. That includes shell space. That includes shell space.
Total linear feet of shelving.
Right.
Shall not exceed.
Whether it be in a cooler or not.
Right. It doesn't
matter whether
it's
refrigerated or dry.
Right. Because otherwise, if you excluded a cooler, the whole store could become a cooler.
Yeah.
Right.
Only just a point of order. We won't be able to hear you on the recording. So if you want to add information or answer the board, it's totally fine. Just do it at the mic.
Not yet. Right now, I have a question to staff, and that is, what is the appropriate language? What would be the
staff needs a moment to look up a standard condition.
No, that's no problem. So we can look at the rest of these. So, and then we have the hours of operation. So the number one would, I think, needs to be modified. And that's, we're relying on staff and they're checking that out. So two is already, everybody seems to be in a.
Two.
Yeah. Nine to midnight, right?
7 days.
Permit to operate. Signage post. Those.
Well, they'll need a sign permit. They need a sign.
Do they need a
exterior of the building?
Building permit, not a planning department permit.
Yeah, that would be part of the building permit.
Oh.
Right.
And can you confirm that there has been a submittal to for permitting for improvements on the tenant space?
There is. There was a building violation in 2017 and a building violation in 2018. And then there is a request for proposal that was submitted September of 2024. And it still hasn't moved through the planning department as the planning asked for revision September 18th, 2024. So I don't see a current, I could be missed. There's multiple addresses at this location. However, I wasn't able to find a building permit that's been issued for $200,000 worth of work.
You see if it's in plan check?
I believe I've looked in under both addresses, and I do not see a building permit issued for the
submittal. The for permit plan that check for the improvements?
Correct. The reopening of an existing convenience market, no alcohol, was a description in September of 2024. That planning asked for revisions and has yet to receive any response.
Oh, that would be a requirement. And maybe one way of addressing this is allow the applicant to get the building permit issues together. It has to do with what we're approving.
Get a condition of approval. We don't want to come. It's been almost 2.5 years that we've been at this. What make it a condition of approval that we have to get our building permits? Otherwise, we don't get the grant. I mean, it's super simple. Why drag us back here again?
It's our option. That is our option.
But I mean, it's.
And you did allude to the fact that there was a submittal made for your permit plan check. And it's
there
not
was a submittal of some kind.
It was made, without alcohol.
Right? Right, there was and
it hasn't made it to the building department though. Okay.
So there was a submittal made, right? And then we go to this thing in May, and so we stop because we're not doing it without the alcohol.
September 2024? September 2024.
Right.
That's like you waited a year. So don't give us a hard time when you sat there and you waited a year. We're trying to help you out here and get this figured out. So that's, you know, if you want to play that, that's not going to go over well. So that is though, one is this building permit, these representations made about, you know, $200,000 worth of work. That's good. Yay. It's an interest. But at the same time, based on the available records, you have not responded to a September 2024 and we're now, I can't believe it, almost painfully. So that's what I'm thinking, because we are having that's one way to get this figured out and cleaned up so that we have a set of plans. My question to your client is, are you able to get those plans together within, would staff think work?
Next West BZA scheduled meeting is for November 12th. And the packet, it has to be ready prior to, like, typically 2 weeks prior to that date, because we have to work on it and it has to be ready and be mailed out the week before. So it cuts it close for them to have professionally drawn plans.
Need to have their information by when?
Would need.
We'd be okay with that. I mean, assuming we can get it done by the architect, but.
Okay, because that's
assuming
that's,
we're getting approved.
Right.
Because I'm not going to spend another $30,000 on plans to come back.
You'd have to spend them anyway to
okay,
so have to approve them. Yeah.
Drop dead would be October 29th at midnight.
Okay, so October 20. So the question to the applicant is, will you be able to have all your plans together to submit by October 29, and today's the 22nd, so that gives you a week.
We're not the architects, right? So we got it's all different disciplines.
I understand, but it sounds like we have a pretty straightforward. I thought you were almost there, and
we are. I just can't promise that I'll get the plans in 7 days from an architect, not including the two intervening weekends. So it's 5 days from today. It literally is 5 days.
All right, so the next meeting would be
December 10th at 6 p.m. And that's where we have a tentative scheduled item that's a biggie that we were asked to not add anything on that agenda. But
that's not the November meeting. That's not November 12th.
That's no, it's 12th. Tentatively for December 10th, the biggie. Well,
it's been pushed back to okay, that, good to know. Thank you.
Is there any way that we can do this by condition? We can, it won't go active until we do this, or it's like.
Not up to myself, it's up to the board.
Is there a way we can do this by condition that would satisfy, that would make us do this before that permit? Before we can utilize, prior to the utilization.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be a lot better off for the applicant overall. It just the politics politically, because this is, we have a recommendation from our MAC recommending denial. We have staff has adopted it. What we have found is that if based on our discussion that if we limit the alcohol shelf space, we're satisfying.
Maybe make that finding.
That we can make that finding positively, and therefore the applicant can move forward. You still need to get your building permit issues done anyway. And so what we're simply saying is we want to get, let's get these building permits together and the plans. So that, assuming we have a good set of plans attached, we can, and we will also by then have the appropriate language on, right, the 20% that has been adopted or utilized for
right, the limitation.
Other locations limiting alcohol to shelf space. And which is a positive development. So that's, we're trying to move positively here. And you're going to have to do these building permits anyway. So that's the suggestion. So that's the thought. And we would continue it. And based on staff's, the calendar that we have, it, and your own response that you are not that far ahead on those building permits, would December 10 work, and therefore you would have everything together to submit to staff, what, December 1?
It's not up to myself. I mean, no, that's no, no, the I, that's the evening that we have a large item, period.
Yeah, that's a bad, that's a... Yes, but I think this, if this is heard before, this should be pretty quick, theoretically.
Right, if...
Two? Mac had two with this...
Two the items.
Item.
Yeah, they had another item on the calendar the same night.
Okay. Hear that first?
Yes.
We'd have to hear.
Right. Yeah, this would be heard first before that.
I just for clarity, so are we making a decision today?
You're A, well, your you know. Public testimony's closed.
Yeah, okay. You can have a seat.
Oh, that Mac, when Mac heard the other large item,
they had another
item. They had another item heard before
If everything's pretty much lined out
on this one, the 20%.
Just be able to just check the boxes off.
Yeah.
And with that.
Be okay.
And then that way we'll have a set of conditions of approval too.
Right, because we are really
piecemealing everything right now. It's kind of a problem. We don't have all the necessary language we need. We don't have the building permit stuff. So
right, and we didn't have any proposed conditions in our package to study.
So, but that would be the thought I'd say is 1 year mandatory review also.
Any suggestions on how to draft the required healthy food?
I think if
that's a good question, and that would be an issue because I think staff, you are absolutely correct that we don't have a set of rotting food. Yeah, I bought
Right, because we had a similar issue at the corner of Maddox and Foothill that a 7-Eleven wanted to go in there, and the community would like to see healthy options. And this, I, you know, this Matt, the same topic came up. How does planning department enforce that the approved location would provide the healthy food options that is mentioned in the Alameda County environmental injustice element?
Right. And what's the, because they do all, we know that food, fresh food is so bad. It only has a certain lifetime. And so you can't, and if it's not selling, it's not going to make.
There are vendors that bring the food in and then take it out and expired stuff. I mean, really, it's like a grocery store, the expired stuff gets pulled out and then new stuff is brought in. It's
bigger, much usually. It's a big.
And it just gets pulled and taken to the food bank.
Right.
Or even the bakery stuff, bakery and produce. But I would think on that verbiage that you're looking for, Christine, would somehow contain shall not exceed. 20%, you know.
Or maybe this is something that maybe the applicant, because that there is additional time, if the applicant does have any suggestions on what they think is a workable.
I have a language for the floor space. I'm more worried about healthy foods, but
right.
I won't lose sleep over it tonight, though.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that, because I've been to stores and I've seen, you know, the rotting lettuce or the.
Right.
But I mean, they could work with like that dig deeper, you know, that community produce.
Right. But I think we have to identify exactly what they're doing. And that's also assumes dig deep is willing.
All right.
Capacity. Interest.
Have you dealt with any fresh produce before in your stores?
But we can deal with it and provide, you know, when we look at the floor plan, you know, we're not doing 20% of the floor space, but we can designate an area that makes sense within the floor space and then provide that to the county along with a proposed condition.
Do you have vendors that you worked with for that? How did you?
Well, the vendors are.
But there also can be things like, you know, like salads, like
healthy, pre-packaged foods. Yeah. I mean, I think using the word produce is a little rough. I think healthy right. food options, and then that'll open up our ability to talk to many vendors. Healthy food options.
You know, like you have pre-packaged salads or pre-packaged eggs or, you know.
And we've done that before. That won't be hard for us. We got to look at the floor plan, because this obviously wasn't initially until we heard the comment. We thought it was a good idea. So we'll look at the out. We'll measure out the square footages, however that's calculated, whether linear square feet or square footage, and then we'll send it to the staff, and then our proposed condition, and then they can do whatever they want with it. And then hopefully we can work together just to agree to a condition to present to you folks.
Right. And that would be the objective on this exercise, is so that you can come up with some language. But I think that's one way to kind of cut the healthy or address the healthy food is like an airport.
I was going to say Starbucks does it.
Starbucks, yeah. Right. Starbucks, airports. You know, Pete's, all those guys, they have healthy items. You know, the bakery comes in. You might not have a huge section, but you'll have, you know, one shelf dedicated to freshly baked stuff.
Did County Council have a question?
Nope.
Oh, all right. I guess
I need to make it. We need to make a motion. Make a motion. So the question is to what date where we left off? So
it sounds like you were leaning towards December 10th.
Based on the applicant's availability and their ability to meet and confer with their architect.
Didn't sound like he'd be able to make it for the November meeting. So I think it's realistic to say the December 10th And if they can't make it by December 10th, then we could just carry it over till the new year.
Well, yeah, then they can go from there, right? Okay, so that would be my motion, is to move to continue this matter to allow staff to adopt proposed conditions of approval as discussed, and with addressing the 20% shelf and the healthy food, working with the applicant on that, and then to allow the applicant to put forth their building permit application so we can tie that to this application. So anything from staff on that?
Does the board have any suggestion about the area devoted to healthy food?
I'd say let's let the state, you work with the applicant on that.
Great. And then the building permit, you want to see a building permit number so
well,
we
at
can
least,
attach
that it's in permit plan check, nothing else.
Right.
Even if the permit hasn't been issued, the submittal and the plan check should be underway.
Okay. Right. Right. So that there is at least a submittal
on record.
Right. The building department's a whole other issue.
Speaking in the language of the building code, complete building permit application submitted addressing all previously stated concerns of the county building department?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. At least up to the submittal.
It's typically after it passes through this RQ, which is planning review, once we approve it as to zoning, then it would get a building permit number, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a complete submittal. Then building department staff will review it and say, hey, I need X, Y, and Z.
That sets off
which is where they left off at.
Oh, they haven't even passed through the planning department.
Not that far.
Right.
It's been a year.
So that's different than what I said.
Yeah.
Right. Mine was more prescriptive. So strike what I said.
Right.
And you're asking for the assignment of a building permit application number to application being submitted by the applicant.
Right. Yep. A submittal so that we're not completely dependent upon the building department.
Right. Right. But at least there's something in the system on record.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And then that RQ system, Christine, that sets off the onset of the plan check.
If the customer provides the required material that was asked upon planning staff last year, then yeah, as soon as we're able to put our okay to plan check for a convenience store only, this does not include alcohol sales in our approval, then it would be a BLD number would be created.
They submitted an all new package with the alcohol, and would they lose their place in the queue? They'd have to restart.
No, they can modify their existing RQ number.
Okay.
Are going to do it on that. You'll do it on that set.
But they're saying you can modify the existing by say submitting the update to the set.
Well, then they would have to, if planning approves the RQ today, it's for no alcohol. If they come back and let's say we come back in a month and you guys say yes to alcohol, then they are going to have to do an in progress change with the building department, which may cost additional money, is typically what happens if BID has to re-review the plans. I don't know if they will review it in that amount of time, but it could cost more money.
Right. Oh, I understand that. So what we're... so if they're going to modify plans anyway, update them. So if they took the updated plans and submitted them as a modification to that number.
Planning department would not be able to approve it because it has alcohol. So we cannot approve, and we won't be able to approve. You know, let's say you guys do approve it tomorrow. It's still a 10-day appeal period. We can't approve things until the appeal period passes.
So basically, though, as long as they have their submittal plans, what they intend to submit, that's what you're saying, with alcohol.
to the planning department, but not in the Main Star portal account. So the RQ won't even change. They want to wait till they see what's approved or what's not.
Right.
And they're going to debate their money. Hey, is it worth me doing these changes to this existing convenience store or no?
So by us continuing this, does it just hang it up more in the system?
Oh, they could respond to our comments from last year tonight, and it still would get moved forward as a convenience store only, no alcohol.
Right, so they have to modify that, though.
If I can't approve it and make it a BLD number until this board or the Board of Supervisors grants a conditional use permit to sell alcohol.
So that is the major problem, is this because they won't get that BLD number until... Which I think is, there's a staff suggestion of what needs to be fixed here for processing,
clarifying,
which is what gets so screwed up.
It's fairly standard for a billing department to assist on planning approval before proceeding.
Still screwed up, though.
Specifically says convenience store, no alcohol. I mean, I'm sure they were working with staff, and that's why it specifically says that. Because retail stores are allowed.
Right.
No big deal.
Well, they don't need a CUP. So it's only because now they're here with the CUP
component.
Right.
Your primary concern is that they provide staff with information demonstrating that they are, number one, addressing previous comments made to previous submittal, and number two, showing square footage or whatever other quantity that demonstrates the 80-20 ratio.
Right.
And a location for healthy foods in their discretion.
Right.
And would it be sufficient to you that they submitted that to staff and staff reported back to you that it met all of those?
Right. Satisfies the proposed conditions.
Hadn't been submitted to the building department. It's just the staff, your staff is looking at it and saying, yes,
then
we recommend.
Assuming we're agreeable, then they have their CUP and off you go.
Right.
And then that would cut them loose in the system and
right.
enable the plans to
Line.
Move in
yeah.
the system, I guess. Right. I don't think we were ever talking about working drawings, construction documents with all the trades. It was just a DD set, design development, to show what the intent was on a plan. That's pretty simple.
Right.
Sort of design development.
So then that would put us...
I'm not sure what that does to satisfy the board's concerns.
Okay.
They need to see a permit set ready to be submitted.
Right, that would be better.
That they can attach to their CUP and say, this is what's being submitted.
We're going to submit.
Yes.
So okay, but you can discuss that further with staff. But I think we're pretty, based on staff's discussion, it sounds like we're all on the same page. Set of plans, which would be satisfactory to submit to the building department. They submit it early, that's great, whatever they want to do, but that gives us the adequate information.
It's not typical practice for the applicant to submit a set of plans to the planning department that's ready to go right to the building department, because they typically do wait for planning approval, because we will make changes, add more landscaping, give me water right here. So for them to give us a set of plans that's ready to be signed off by building does seem like a huge request. So, you know, a site plan, a floor plan, area devoted to healthy food, and then call out the area on a professionally set of plans showing 12 by 10 alcohol. Show us, and then show me or show on the plans healthy food, because what's going to happen is I'm going to walk in there, and if you don't match the picture I have in my plans, then we're going to say you're set for revocation.
Right. Okay.
I don't, I mean.
Okay, so then that would put us at the earlier date.
Right, this is just part of design development.
Yes.
Right? It's not a working set, yes. You know, permit set. Yeah. Design development, DD versus CD.
Okay, so then I would modify my proposed motion. Yes. And what's that date? I will instead.
End date for the December 10th?
November 12th. Wednesday, November 12th at 6 p.m. November 12th at 6 p.m. It's a Wednesday evening.
We're scheduled to go November 12th, 6 p.m.
That is correct. Sure. It's the only meeting of the month.
Right. So that would be my motion, is to continue this matter to November 12th, 6 p.m. To allow the applicant to work with staff and put together site plan, development plan, and address the 20% shelf space, and to allow staff time to put together the language and a set of conditions. So that's my motion.
We have a second.
I'll second.
All the questions.
So we have a motion by Member Spaulding, a second by Member Lewis. Staff, can we have the vote?
Chair Vovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spaulding?
Aye.
Motion passes. The items continue to November 12th.
Right. Staff, can we have the item two?
Yes. Okay. The second item on the regular calendar is PLN 2025-108, conditional use permit to allow renewal, continued operation of an existing Verizon wireless telecommunications facility with no changes. And the site is located at 3800 Palomares Road. And we have staff planner Maral Ismali here to present the item.
Thank you, Christine, for covering the first slide for me. Good afternoon, everyone. So this is Maral Ismaili, and I'm presenting the conditional use permit renewal, as Christine mentioned. So a conditional use permit renewal is to allow continued use of wireless telecommunication facilities for Verizon. There are no changes proposed as part of this conditional use permit, and they are typically approved for every 10 years. The general plan land use designation is resource management, and the zoning is agriculture. Staff proposed the CUP renewal is exempt from California Environmental Quality Act, so we didn't conduct an environmental review, and this is per section 15301 of the CEQA guideline, which are existing facilities. Again, this is an existing facility, includes three existing poles that are approximately 21 feet tall, and they're on a concrete pad, and they're behind a barbed wire fence that are not visible to the public or right away, that I will show some pictures in future slides. And also staff has no concerns about the views of the barbed wire. So as I said, I will show some slides. Here you can see Niles Canyon Road curves around the property is shown on the left, and the property line is shown in blue lines. Also, this is on a very steep canyon, so the site cannot be actually viewed as one travels up and down the Niles Canyon. There is a 3D view of the site that we're trying to show the site is really on a hillside, and no driver or anybody on the trail would not be able to see the site because of the hills would cover it. It's behind the, I think it's here. It's, yeah, it's between the Alameda Creek and the hills, I think. I've never been there. It was based on Rodrigo's experience to me. I think it's the trail is along the Alameda Creek.
So you see the roadway of Niles Canyon, and then there's the creek.
Right.
And beyond the creek and the green trees, there's a little pathway that appears to be a trail.
Is that part of the ridge trail or proposed ridge trail? Do we know?
We do not know.
This area does have the ridge. I mean, it's supposed to have the ridge trail, or hopefully at some point.
Hi, everybody. This is Rodrigo Orduña with the county.
Oh, Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, nice to hear you.
Are you listening yes. in on?
Yes. So sorry, I'm remote this afternoon. Yeah, so basically, so what you're seeing in the slide right now, that is the access road to the site on the right-hand side screen. Right. You'll see that it's a circle. Any public trails for the Vargas Plateau are actually on the opposite, on the south side of Alameda Creek and Niles Canyon Road. So you're oh. gonna see the trail. You're not seeing the trail in this picture. What you see when you're on the trail basically is you're looking north across Niles Canyon and across Alameda Creek, and then you would see the antennas, but that's really far away, right? You're just going to see them as dots in the horizon. So from the roadway itself, you're not going to see the antennas or the facility at all.
It's a pretty ugly, it's not very attractive.
And right, they're what we, you know, shorthand term naked antennas. They're not camouflaged. However, they are originally they were originally approved that way.
Which way though? Camouflaged or naked?
Naked.
Oh.
And with the understanding that, you know, nobody sees them from below, which is the roadway, and across along the Vargas Plateau Regional Park, they're way across the canyon, and they're dots in a horizon.
Thank you.
That would be a concern. Is just I, even though they may be naked now, but the Vargas Plateau area has been progressed to district and public interest. I don't think it's been
okay, thank you. We're going to proceed on our presentation.
So this is the overall site plan, and the antennas are located on the southern part and the cabinets are located on the northern blurb of the site. So the subject Verizon telecommunication facility would remain the same as currently operating as the latest 6409 PLN 2024-00035. Was approved with occasional 6409 permit updates to the technology. This is just the technical aspects of what's been renewed according to the latest 6409 application for Verizon. As you can see, there is three poles and an equipment area that are located on two separate parts of the property. So this is the site plan of the poles. There's three monopoles and easement area with fencing around them, and the equipment cabinets on a separate easement area with fencing. The cell sites and antennas are only slightly visible to the public, and the ground equipment is situated low to the hillside and not visible from the surrounding areas. This is what the facility looked like in 20 foot tall on the top of the poles, and the antennas are below that. So this is the existing condition, and you can see the barbed wires are basically kept to the cookout. So again, they're not visible from county rights of way, and these are originally approved back then, like 10 years ago. They changed the antennas quite often as the technology improves, but the height of the poles has not been changed. So the proposed to allow the continued use of the proposed allow the proposal to allow the continued use is in conformance with the general plan, because the general plan allows for quasi-public utilities that have a public benefits, even if it's not restricted to unurbanized lands. And the zoning ordinance does not really speak to telecommunication facilities, so we do have a telecommunication policy that these antennas comply with. They are located on the portion of the lot that is not visible to public right-of-way. So according to the policies for telecommunication facilities, staff considered their design to minimize the visual impacts. They do use the existing access road. There is other facilities on the property that with a similar situation. So there is no access to these facilities from the public, and these are privately rural lands. That does not allow for any risk of private individuals accessing the wire fencing or the antennas. Also, the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, has passed several legislations that say wireless facilities are allowed to certain percentage increments change that does not review publicly. So there is a 6409 updates to the facility is a section of the federal legislation. And then at September 22nd, Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council voted 6-0 in favor of staff recommendation for approval. And with that, staff would ask the Board of Zoning Adjustment members to allow the continued operation for Verizon Wireless Telecommunication Facility for another 10 years the as-is condition. And with that, staff are available for any questions, and the applicant is attending online. So if there's any question for applicant, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff? I think I only have just one out of curiosity. The existing access road, is that gated when you said that's not open to the public?
It's a private land. It's a rural land, so it's
they keep a gate or something. How do they keep the public off that road?
Just because it's private doesn't mean anything,
right?
Yeah,
Rodrigo Orduña again. Sorry, my personal. I'm not personally there, but yes, there's gates that restrict public access.
Okay, I was just wondering how they do that, other than put up a sign, like you said. Not everybody cares about a sign. I'm just curious if there was a gate or something.
So yes, there is a gate, and the crews that are part of the maintenance crews to periodically go check on the facility. There's like a daisy chain locking system where everybody has a key to a lock that is allowed access onto the maintenance road.
Anybody else have any questions? We'll open the public hearing if we have anybody else. Any speakers that wish to speak on this item? If
there's anybody that would like to speak on this matter, please raise your hand. If the applicant is online, you may want to decide to speak to the board to answer any questions.
Not.
He is online, Mr. Taylor Lively.
Okay. Taylor, you are allowed to speak.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Taylor Lovely. I represent the applicant. I don't have any further, I'm open to questions if staff has any. I suppose just like to respond as far as if concerns about, wanting to if wanting to make this tower into a stealth, given the height and the amount of towers that we have on the site, covering them would actually reduce coverage. And in speaking with Assistant Director Ordunia, I understand that there may be outages of coverage or a lack of thereof of coverage as there is. So to request that this be made stealth would essentially just reduce the coverage that is already being provided by Verizon. Other than that, if staff has any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
What are you saying? Are you saying that if it's camouflage, that's going to reduce coverage?
Correct. I mean, because the height that they are now, 19 feet, the coverage is, if we were to cover those as they are now, given the height of the towers as they exist, it would essentially reduce coverage. The taller the tower, the farther that the coverage can expand. And based on the height that they are now, any covering would inhibit the existing coverage that is given off.
Okay. What about your fencing that looks like it's falling apart around it? And at that fencing, I mean, anybody could go right through that fencing. You could just walk, not walk, but,
planning staff has indicated, this is private property. It's a very long access road to get up the steep slope that this property, that the tower is on. I don't anticipate anyone other than customers for Verizon or our maintenance field technicians to actually visit the site. It's quite a long ways away from that public road.
Guess I have more faith in a teenage ability to overcome and get into trouble.
Well, there's a way.
That's right.
It's been there for 40 years. I don't think there's been any issues for 40 years. Yeah. Yep.
So. On their conditions, it's we're giving them another 10 years.
Because the fence looks like it's falling apart, personally, I think.
But it looks like it's, razor wire or barbed wire.
It's just barbed wire, but you can climb through barbed wire. I have climbed through many barbed wires. So, that's my concern is that I don't think it's very secure, that's for sure. The way it's set up with that fence.
If it would appease the board, I apologize for interrupting. If it would appease the board, we'd be happy to send up our local site next technician to look at the fence, take a better look at the integrity, and report back.
Something like a chain link fence or something that's more secure that you just can't climb, anybody can climb through. Have a chain link gate. It looks like maybe the gate is. I can't tell.
Yes, the gate is the entrance to the gate is chain link.
Right. That a chain link.
I would argue, I'm not argue, wrong word. I would imagine, imposing a chain link fence is going to be even easier to climb over than the existing barbed wire. And I know you would comment
say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be far more painful to get through this barbed wire than a chain link.
I've climbed through many barbed wire, so that's why I have no problem.
I can't relate, unfortunately.
this is the country, and in the country you have barbed wire, and everybody goes through barbed wire. So
you would be willing to have your maintenance crew go out and just check the see if it's substantial enough?
But that's not going to do anything. They're just going to go out and say, "Oh yeah, it's fine."
Well, it's been there for 40 years. It's pretty remote. I don't have a big concern about someone jumping over. And actually, the chain link is easier to climb than slithering through this.
Well,
should add more razor wire.
Yeah, yeah, right. You could put razor, you could put the barbed wire on top of the chain link. That's pretty easy.
No, putting wire on top, razor wire on top, I think will look.
Well, the concern is the security issue, and I would.
It's our standard.
What we normally have chain link, don't we, around these things, or it's completely covered and you can't even see it.
So, excuse the interruption, Rodrigo Ordunez with County Planning again. So the due to the remoteness of the road to get here on private property, the only purpose for the fencing is it's a cattle fence, basically. It's just to discourage the cattle from accessing the equipment.
They've obviously leaned against the poles, you can tell.
Right. Aww. And so the idea is the sheer remoteness of the access to these antennae on private property that adds a level of security against people accessing this specific, and there are other carriers, and this carrier and others in on this same hilltop. That's the security against people. And the reason for the fencing is for cattle.
Right, but the cattle are going to stay out if it's either barbed wire or chain link. The fencing is already, you can tell, worn down because you can tell the cattle, something's been leaning on it. Yeah.
Barbed wire it too.
Right.
Carrot. Yeah. A little more.
So it's tighter.
Yeah.
And more secure and maybe more barbed wire. So people like me don't go
stay out of there, Jewel.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sorry, but I grew up fixing barbed wire fences, so I know barbed wire.
This looks like it could use some repairs.
Yeah, it definitely needs some help. It's like this is falling apart fence. So
maybe just address some deferred maintenance.
I think that would do it because I think the sheer remoteness of it's going to keep most people out. It's on private property. The road's gated. No one really sees it.
Well, as long as nobody's seen it, that's the biggest. That's why my question is, where's the Ridge Trail theoretically supposed to be?
Something that's been there for 40 years, in my opinion, and is working.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, and it sounds like it's pretty hard to see from, I mean, for the public to see from the road.
Right.
So.
To have them address some deferred maintenance deferred to maintenance. The wiring.
Yeah, that,
I don't
that
think
they need to maintain it.
Yeah. Be sure that the wiring's maintained, but not to change it out. No.
Does that sound, Miss Lovely?
Well, they are going to have to change out some of that wiring because that's both.
Oh.
We could certainly maintain have them repair and replace as needed. That's totally fine.
Okay. And replace.
To improve security. those are my thoughts on looking at this.
Any other questions from the staff? I'll open the public.
I think.
Oh, I did. No, I got to close it.
You have to close it.
I've got to close the public hearing. Okay. Well, I entertain a motion. We have no further discussion.
I guess a motion to adopt staff's recommendation with the additional or modification. There's no conditions of approval here.
There's an attached draft resolution towards the end of your packet before the plans.
Not part of the staff report, though.
Not part of the staff report, correct.
Well, there's a maintenance section.
Yeah.
All antennas and equipment shall be maintained in good condition.
Right. And that's
that one.
Number 20.
Yeah, that's part of the resolution. Right. So all and that the question would be is that the present fencing needs. Right.
Those aren't going to get.
That because that right now there's
crawl through there.
There's no maintenance does not include. Oh, it says this shall include keeping fencing and other structures in good condition, including that the applicant will within 30 days or something like that, 60 days, within 60 days. Repair and replace
existing
fence. To improve safety and security. To limit access.
To the moo cows.
Right. Who are heavy and will push those things over in a
tired.
Scratching their back.
Oh, and those guys, they're
heavy. It starts raining. Nobody's going up there. I can tell you that right now.
And we're supposed to have a big storm come in. So, all right. So that would be my motion.
Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Have a motion by Member Spalding and a second from Vice Chair Siebert.
Right. Modifying condition.
Modifying condition number 20. 20. Okay, staff, can we have the vote?
Chair Vovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Concludes our regular calendar. Oh, no, wait, one more item on regular calendar, and that's the approval of the 2026 calendar.
Is right here.
It's pretty standard.
There's some questionable whether we have the meetings.
That's the holiday.
During the holiday periods, but I guess we'll figure that out later.
Oh, yeah. No, November. Those are the question marks.
Okay, so we need a
motion to adopt. So I'll move to adopt staff's recommended.
Okay. We have a motion from Member Spalding and a second from from Member Lewis. Can we have the vote, please?
Hey, you.
Chair Vovis.
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Santos.
Aye.
Member Spalding.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Next up, we've got the approval of minutes from September 24th. Does anyone have any changes, corrections? I do not have any.
I don't.
Motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept minutes from September 24th. 2025 as presented.
Get to that motion.
Second.
Have a motion and a second for the draft minutes. Can we have the vote?
Chair Vovis.
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Santos.
Aye.
Member Spalding.
Abstain.
Motion passes, 4 in favor, 1 abstention.
It had to have been our fastest meeting yet. That was 1 hour and 10 minutes.
They were all like that, right? Staff comments. Anybody have staff comments?
No? Staff does have a comment. There's 2 more West County Board of Zoning Adjustments meeting scheduled for 2025. And they are both being held at 6 p.m. in the evening on November 12th and November 10th.
Wait, November
December
12th?
December 10th.
December 10th.
Oh, excuse me. I went backwards. November 12th, 2025 and December 10th, 2025.
Both at 6 p.m. Yeah.
12. Thank you for correcting me.
Both are at 6 p.m.
The boss is listening.
December 10th.
Yeah, no, just because of the holidays, the so
Right, because otherwise we'd be meeting would not work for anybody. No, I'm here.
Okay. Is that it for staff comments?
Yes.
Okay. Board announcements, comments and reports. The only thing I had to say was about the upcoming street vendor ordinance that I sent the links to you guys, because it looks like we'll be hearing all the appeals on that when it's once it's adopted. So familiarize ourselves with. Oh, actually, yeah, we do have our copies. Oh. I asked that we have copies handed out to us today so we can go through them. Thank you for doing that. That's all I've got. These are copies of the public notice of the public hearing, the ordinance itself, and the regulations for the street vendor ordinance, or at least the draft of it.
Right, it has already been approved.
Well, approved. Yeah. But then we've got this. The November 18th hearing. It's here in this room. Planning Department hearing, 1:30 Tuesday, November 18th, regarding the draft regulations. So, just thought you should know. All right. That's all I've got. So, I will adjourn.